Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. It is a Friday evening, and it feels a little strange to be back. Just talking to Wayman, my engineer, and he said, it's been a while. I don't know how long it's been, but glad to be here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We've been preempted here and there because of USC Sports, and I was on last Friday afternoon at 4, but we are back at a regular time slot now at 7. Speaking of the program last Friday, I've gotten a lot of emails from people saying, would you share again what you did at the beginning of the program, which I am going to do. I'm going to read something. It's going to take a good chunk of time. But if you missed the program last Friday, you better tighten your seatbelt. Many people are concerned about the state of the world. Neil Oliver is a British television documentary series maker. I'm going to read something he posted in a video, and it speaks for itself. People write to me every day to tell me they fear the future. People from all over the world, all ages, all walks of life. I say this, we should not be afraid. If anyone should be afraid, it is our government, the whole of Parliament, the state, and the establishment. Let me remind you again, Neil Oliver lives in the UK, but it makes the same sense here in our country and around the world. I'll continue. They should be afraid because they are in the wrong, doing wrong things and behaving unforgivably. You can tell they're afraid by the way they keep doing more and more, faster and faster, to make the people poor, cold, and hungry. Also demoralized, anxious, and fearful about the present, never mind the future. The fear felt by people around the world is the deliberate consequence of the actions of so-called leaders all across the West and beyond. I say again, we should not be afraid. Those plotting and working against us, against our interests, both as individuals and as sovereign states, have no power and no money other than that which we, the people, grant them. They're supposed to use that power and money to protect us, to keep us free, and to provide opportunities for those hardworking, free people to make happy and successful lives for themselves. Instead, they're working night and day to have us welcome a state of being that is nothing less than digital enslavement. Many of the people who contact me ask, what should we do? How can we fight back? Neil Oliver says, I think about the answers to those questions all the time. Right now, I wonder what would happen if those who are cold in their homes, millions of people, just turned on their heating and turned off their direct debits and standing orders. What would happen if when the bills came in, we all just agreed to toss them on the fire, all of us together? What would happen if millions of us peacefully acted as one, just stood together in quiet defiance? I could be wrong, but I don't think there's enough cells in the prisons, enough judges to hear the cases. If the system wasn't already broken by them, such actions would break it. What would happen if we all withdrew our money from the banks on the same day? What would happen if we all asked, as we are entitled to, for the cash? The banks do not have the money to meet all those demands, and so presumably they would close their doors. Then what? Would their inability to pay out all that cash be evidence of the fraud that is fiat money? I wonder. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The social contract, that notion by which we surrender power to the state in return for services and safety, is broken beyond repair. They broke it, not us. Successive governments, not just the present bunch of cardboard cutouts, have, over decades, knowingly and deliberately betrayed every aspect of that contract. It is null and void, and we, the blameless party, are no longer bound by its conditions. We, the people, the sovereign people of this country, don't just hold the power, we are the power. We loan some of it, a short-term loan, to governments. And those governments are supposed to serve us, do our bidding. Never the other way around. We tell them what to do. Hundreds of years' worth of governments has quietly and secretively presided over a financial system that is no more than state-sanctioned fraud. Power to create money out of thin air was put in the hands of an entirely private, unelected, unaccountable business, and this power has been abused to make a tiny group unimaginably rich by enslaving all of us with debt. That system is now on the point of collapse. The West is bankrupt, and governments and bankers are scrambling to solve a problem: how to subtract every last shekel from the people while still having a handful of wealthy bankers and their enablers left over. Britain has no functioning border against the rest of the world. Hundreds are arriving in this country every day and night, many ferried across the channel by agencies paid for by British taxpayers. British people have to wait longer for health and social care and accommodation to make way for economic migrants with their eyes on a soft touch who have paid illegal gangs thousands of pounds ahead to get here. They send their luggage on ahead and collect it at their hotels. We are at the back of the queue while anyone else from anywhere else is looked after hand and foot. And always the loudest calls are not for stopping it, but for more money and faster processing. I wonder if the illegal immigration isn't just convenient for the state, softening up the citizens for a supposed solution, like digital ID, perhaps. And then borders open once and for all. Neil Oliver says, I wonder. The British people are no longer kept safe by the police force they pay for. Burglaries of properties and assaults on the person are barely investigated, while officers prioritize thought crimes on social media. Uncounted thousands of little girls are abandoned to organized gangs of rapists up and down the country because the state turned a blind eye to the relentless raping of children rather than ruffle community feathers. A tenth of the population is on the waiting list for treatment by the NHS. The National Health Service is not keeping the nation healthy. All this about free at the point of delivery is about as much use as a magic spell. You can call a lunch a free lunch, but you'll still be left hungry if you can't get into the restaurant. So-called free steaks won't fill you up if you have to wait so long in the queue you starve to death in the meantime. Free becomes another word for something you've heard about but can't have. Neil Oliver says, I say again, though, we have nothing to fear, not if we decide to be unafraid. In many ways, the worst has already happened. We've been shown where we stand in the eyes of the state, which is beneath their contempt. I don't have the answers to all of the questions, but I know this much. Even just asking them, airing the thoughts, should make the government, the state, the establishment, sit up and pay attention. More and more strikes are happening. Rail workers, teachers, and university lecturers, nurses next. What about the self-employed who were abandoned for the last 2 years? They can't strike. What would happen if they withheld their taxes all at the same time, I wonder? But history tells us we should never underestimate the power of the many. Just over 100 years ago, during World War I, thousands of workers were pulled into the city of Glasgow to work in the munitions factories. At that time, there wasn't a single council house or flat in the whole of Britain. Private landlords owned 100% of homes for rent. They could and did raise rents as often as they wanted. Tenants either paid up or were evicted. In February 1915, landlords across the city told tenants their rents were going up by as much as 25%. This was against a backdrop of the steeply rising cost of living generally, food scarcity, and the rest. There was a war to win, remember, and sacrifices were expected from the people if the enemy was to be defeated. In the case of many homes, the man of the house was away fighting in the war, leaving just women and children. Into this crisis for four poor people stepped Mary Barber, an ordinary Glasgow woman with two children. She and others realized their only hope lay in sticking together. A mass non-payment campaign got underway. Arrears built up, and soon sheriff's officers were turning up to demand back rent or to evict non-payers. But whenever anyone got wind of an eviction, hundreds of women would descend on the address and block the entrance to the home. A Glasgow MP, Willie Reid, described a typical incident. Quote, a soldier's wife in Parkhead had an eviction notice served on her with a warning that if she failed to vacate her house by 12 noon, the sheriff's officer would call to enforce it. The strike committee got busy. They instructed every mother in the district with a young child to be there for 11 a.m. on D-Day. Long before noon, the clothes and the street were packed with children, and every child had at least one youngster along with it as well. No raiding party could have got gear in the house. Moreover, the men of Parkhead Forge and other works in the district decided to down tools at 11:30 a.m. and lend a hand if necessary, end quote. People began to talk about Mary Barber's army. On 17th November, 18 tenants appeared in court for eviction. Tens of thousands of Glasgow people lined the street outside. In the end, on November 25th, 1915, rents were frozen at pre-war levels. The Increase of Rent and Mortgage Interest Act of 1915 was passed, and some elements of it remained in force as late as 1989. I wonder what would happen if all of us, opposed to what is going on, came together like those Glasgow women of 1915 and just said no, I wonder. When thinking about that time, I'm reminded of real leaders. I've been talking about this week about Ernest Shackleton, who, when all seemed lost, his ship sunk beneath the Antarctic ice, and with nothing but flimsy tents, three little boats, and 28 men trapped on the pack ice and depending on him for life itself, he said, well, now we will go home. Our so-called leaders tell us our lives must be packed with hardship, while they warm themselves in centrally heated homes paid for with our taxes, and look forward to Christmas parties and food and drink and decorations paid for by all of us. That is not leadership. That is an abusive relationship. Shackleton put himself through every hardship he expected his men to endure. He did it first and for the longest. When he asked of them, he did as well. He said they should leave behind on the ice anything that would not help keep them alive. Some saying he walked a hole in that ice and dropped his gold watch and a cigarette case to the bottom of the ocean. He led from the front every step of the way and over nearly a 1,000 mile of the cruelest sea on the earth. And in the end, he got every single man home safely. They called him the boss. He cared not a jot for the comforts of home. Back home once more, he wrote, quote, we had pierced the veneer of outside things. We had suffered, starved, and triumphed, groveled down and grasped at glory, grown bigger in the bigness of the whole, end quote. He was a leader who saw that it was shared endeavor and shared striving that made all else possible. Our leaders? Our leaders would pick our pockets for any gold watches and valuables before climbing aboard their private jets and flying home, leaving us behind on the melting ice. Lastly, I say we owe them nothing. Not our loyalty, not our obedience. If we continue to comply, we build our own prison around ourselves for their benefit. They've promised us the earth while stealing it from us, raping and pillaging its resources only for their own enrichment. I say again, there is nothing to fear if we have each other. Here's the thing. If we set a course for ourselves and back each other every step of the way, we will cross this ocean of darkness together, all the way to where we want to be. Neil Oliver. I welcome your thoughts and comments. If you have any, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. And we will continue with more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC. We are live in studio on this Friday evening. Wayman is at the controls. Adam is screening the calls. And we are grateful that you join us for another edition of the Frank Sontag Show. By the way, if you are new to the program or maybe you've listened a little bit, I want to remind you of a few things. You are always welcome to call the program and, in a sense, be our guest. The numbers to call in are always 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. We have a wide open board to you. You're welcome to call in on what I just read or anything else. We'll take your calls throughout the program. Also, if you'd rather not call in and would feel more comfortable emailing me, we do have a direct email address. It comes to me right here, frank@kmgministries.com. KMG Ministries is my men's ministry. It's a private account. The email only comes to me, and I've got my computer open here, frank@kmgministries.com. Let me also thank one of my sponsors. So I mentioned on the program a few weeks ago, a good friend of mine has been a jeweler for, gosh, more than 30 years. His name is Albert. Noble Jewelers is in Monrovia. Obviously, it's a time of the year, if you know what I'm saying. The thing about Albert, other than he's one of the funniest guys and most informed men I know, he makes every single piece of jewelry by hand. Now, something you may not know, if you go to some of the bigger box stores, they've got some fancy jewelry, but they're all molds. They're all repeats. Albert makes everything from scratch. He's got every type of jewel and jewelry you can imagine. If you go to Noble Jewelers of Monrovia and tell him I sent you, he'd be glad to really, really show you what he has. Let me give you his number again. Maybe it's worth a visit, a drive out. I happen to think you won't regret it. You'll see some amazing jewelry, and Albert is a great guy. 626-357-9357. 626-357-9357. Noble Jewelers is located off the 210 freeway at the Huntington off-ramp. On the program tonight, other than, again, I'm expecting some of your calls. I just read the Neil Oliver piece. Klaus Schwab, you know that Klaus Schwab, has praised China recently. Meantime, massive protests against lockdowns continue in that country. We'll share a bit of that information. Scientists owe Americans an apology for the damage done from the lockdowns, says one individual. Also, speaking of COVID, the FDA is trying to rewrite COVID history on prohibiting ivermectin. They said it doesn't work when studies, even studies on their website, say it does just the opposite. It does indeed work. There is a push to normalize pedophilia in our country by academia. We'll get to that troubling story. And many of you know WNBA player Brittany Griner has been released from a Russian prison. That seems to be one of the dominating mainstream news stories. You may have some thoughts on that. I surely do. And I may get to that later in this hour. Phone numbers again, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. One last thought before we delve into some stories. I've been getting emails from people saying they've never heard me before. And other than a handful of emails over the last couple of weeks, are you not on the air anymore? People tuned into the regular time. And we are I'll just say this. Coming from a history of going to, well, let's just say the college in Westwood. We here at KBC, this is the SC station. So we've had SC football last few weeks, SC basketball. I think there's a game at the end of the month, so we'll be preempted from time to time. But if you miss any of the program, you can always go to franksontag.com for the entire podcast. We virtually put each show up right after we sign off. And all the programs are at franksontag.com. You're welcome to go download and give it a listen. So what's on your mind tonight? Anything in particular? Obviously, there are a lot of news stories that are out there. The Brittany Griner one is one of the big ones that's being pushed now. Maybe you want to talk about the big Twitter dump and the revealing of some very troubling information. I mean, we're not really hurting for news. If you want to talk about things on a personal level, I'll field your calls on that, too. I have a history in the New Age, if you don't know my story. The New Age is kind of, loosely put, self-help, even though I've come to realize it's more the worship of self. About 13 years ago, I became a follower of Christ. Faith is everything to me, and maybe we can talk about culture and God and making sense out of a culture that seems to have lost its mind, and how anyone, at the very least, if they can say they don't believe in God, I don't know how you make it day to day. And it is, each day you wake up, and maybe it's just me. I'm receptive to the idea that maybe I've just kind of lost a gear or two. But it just seems like, in the last few years, we've kind of lost our collective minds. Things that you may watch or listen to or read where you go, huh, I'm not so sure that's true, is reported as true. And then when you hear something, you know, the whole misinformation, disinformation as one of many examples, you're like, Well, I'm not so sure. I think Peter McCullough, the doctor who's been banned recently from Twitter and other things, this guy knows he's worth his salt. The guy's been in the medical industry for decades. But it just seems as if the one party line that's being pushed about whatever topic, if you're not lock, stock, and barrel in agreement with what's being pushed, you even challenge that. Well, we live at a time with something called cancel culture, which is a conversation in and of itself to have. One very last point. If you've not heard my program much, I say this almost every week. I embrace disagreement on the program. I think smart people disagree. But the problem is, we are so soft, and there are entities, power-hungry individuals, that are pushing a certain ideology now. That, again, if you don't believe what they say, you'll be canceled, or you'll be called a lot of names. Racist, homophobe, misogynist. I mean, go down the line. I'm a white, male, Christian man. I got three strikes against me already going into any kind of cultural interaction. But I know the world is filled with a bunch of lies, and all we have to do is stand up and stand for truth. So that's a lot of what this program is about. If you happen to disagree and you call the program, take a risk. You may be surprised that if we can have respectful exchanges about maybe our different views, we can learn something from each other. So all that to say this, we have a wide open board. No, I take that back. We've got one line on the board, Sylvia and Irvine. I'll get to you shortly. 800-222-5222. 800-222-KABC. Now, I have to sit sometimes. I don't take every call. But Sylvia says she can't find Christmas ornaments. And my first thought is, really? All right. Well, I'll bite. Sylvia in Irvine, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, Frank. I really like your show.
Thank you. I'm
a new listener and been listening to you for a little while.
Thank you so much.
I'm out driving around in circles in Laguna and Irvine and Lake Forest, and there's no Christmas ornaments. You know, just the regular glass, different colored ones. I thought, I'll just go to Michael's and there'll be all kinds, right? Nothing. Zero. The stores are bare. The Target, the entire, like, five rows completely empty. I can't find a cupcake shell to make Christmas cupcakes. I can't find a freaking ornament. This is so ridiculous. You better hang on to your Christmas ornaments if you have any, because there should be double or triple the amount after 2 years of people hiding out in their houses. Well, I don't get it. What's going on? They don't want us to have Christmas now? I know they don't want Christians. Maybe they don't want Christmas either.
Well, let me tell you Number one, I am glad you called, and I am glad I took your call. And so I'd like you to keep listening to the program, because I'm going to invite anybody else. If anybody wants to respond to Sylvia, obviously call the program, 800-222-5222. Has Christmas been canceled? I don't know. This is not in my wheelhouse, nor my – I don't think about such things. But it's interesting, and it would kind of make sense. Part of it may be, and I don't want to speculate too much. I mean, if you've walked into a grocery store lately, we know about shortages. But I'm sure there's some people out there that have a response to you, Sylvia. So thank you for listening to the program. I'm glad you found us. I hope you continue to listen. And you can listen to any of the past programs at franksontag.com. Sylvia, God bless you. Thank you for calling. So whether it's about has Christmas been canceled or anything else, we have a couple of open lines, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Later in the broadcast, we're going to talk about Brittany Griner. What do you think about her being released from prison and the controversy around it? One of many topics of conversation on the table. It's up to you to call the program. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC, and more of the Frank Sontag Show next on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. If you missed the previous segment, we had a woman named Sylvia call in and stated she couldn't find Christmas ornaments anywhere and a lot of other things. We had some calls on the screen, but we lost all of them for some reason. There were one call said you can go to, and there was nothing on the screen. I've got a couple emails of people saying, no, I've had no problems. So if that's something you want to follow up with, you're welcome to call the program, 800-222-KABC. You can also email me at frank@kmgministries.com. That's my private email, like Marilyn did. She heard the beginning of the program. I read a commentary by Neil Oliver. Marilyn said, I just heard part of the article you read. Didn't catch Neil's last name. It's Oliver. She said, it makes me wonder, where are the people, the Glasgow Marys in our society? Please keep spreading hope and encouragement. Marilyn, thank you. Yeah, that's a good question. I know it's a bit idealistic, right? The idea that if all of us just say no. But I've bought that lie in my life a number of times. Well, I'm just one person. What can I do? Maybe as you heard me read that commentary, you thought the very same thing. Well, that's idealistic and that's nice, but there's no buts. Society is filled with just one person helping to change things historically. But for me, I'm really honestly, and it takes a lot for me to get fed up. I'm tired of watching government entities just kind of stick it to us. And the truth is, if we're responsible, we're letting us be victims. Government can't do anything to us. That's often the case in personal relationships where we talk about people hurting you. Nobody can hurt you. Your feelings are yours. Now, I don't want to unpack a big thing here and get into intimacy and communication, but I don't believe in the victim mentality. So when it comes to the idea of what the governments are doing right now, it is still we the people. I mean, there's a lot of us and not many of them. And I'm not calling for insurrection. Boy, we've really cheapened language, too. The left has commandeered a lot of this stuff. But my goodness, I say almost every week, you may want to spend time reading the Declaration of Independence. It was written by some smart folks. It goes something like this. When the government no longer represents the people, it's the people, I don't know if it says responsibility or right, to overthrow that government. I'm not calling for the overthrow of the government, but I'm calling for accountability. And we just keep, and I'm not a tax dodger. I mean, I love Phil Liberatore at IRS Problem Solvers. The guy saved me. I got audited. I push him all the time because he's the best in Southern California. I pay my taxes. But I'd be a liar if I didn't tell you recently, there's been some times where I just go, well, you know, I'm not too pleased with the way the government is spending my taxes, if you catch my drift. And I think last, people are waking up. 2 years of lockdowns, I think, taught us a lot about this idea of respecting government and doing everything we're told. I think people are waking up. We'll see where it goes from here. All right, Kim in Valencia says there's plenty of decorations at the 99-cent store. I don't know if that's Christmas decorations, but thank you, Kim. And I alluded to the Brittany Griner story. Paul wants to chime in. Paul in Northridge, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KBC. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Frank. Nice to talk to you tonight.
Thank you.
So I am just so disgusted with our government and the direction that this country is going in. And every day I'm just so overwhelmed with awareness from news and talk radio. I mean, I just have to take a break sometimes and start watching some comedy, or I'll just lose it. And by the way, you and I have a lot in common. I'm a white Jewish man. We both come from a Judeo-Christian upbringing. So we both got three strikes against us. So I'm just so unbelievably disgusted with what happened with this Brittany Griner situation. If Paul Whelan's sister wasn't so intimidated by the woke mainstream media and offending the Biden administration and the mainstream media, I think she would really tell people what she thinks, because Paul is a white man who's straight. If he was a different color, a different sex, and a different sexual identity, he would be out of Russian prison. And I just heard something on the Dan Bongino show earlier that it was reported that, unlike what our press secretary said earlier, that it was Britney or nothing. That's not true. They could have bought Paul. They could have brought Paul home. They chose not to. This country has just gone so woke. And the sad thing about it is, Frank, is people that are upright and honest and good-hearted and moral and God-fearing, there's just not enough of us. We are outnumbered by all these heathens out there. What can we do?
Well, let me comment, and I appreciate your passion and your call, and please keep listening, because I want to respond to what you shared. Paul, thank you for calling. Here's some of my thoughts.
Bye, bye.
Thank you. I don't think we're outnumbered. But I really don't think it's a number issue anyway. I can cite examples of my thoughts on this. And I'm not comparing the two directly, but the first thought that comes to mind is the LGBTQ realities of things. They are small groups of people that make a lot of noise, and they've actually got, if you will, a lot done. So I don't think those that have gone woke, or government entities that clearly have some level of corruption, I don't think we're outnumbered. I think we have been brainwashed to think we're marginalized. You make a great story about Paul Whelan's sister and afraid to speak out. So let me address some of that directly. And I will tell you, not only thank you for listening to Dan Bongino, mornings here on KBC, I have the story right in front of me. And we didn't even mention the arms dealer, Victor Bout. That's another part of the story that's outrageous. But here's one of the many reported stories, other than what the government is spinning now, which seems to be lies, that somehow, oh no, it was Britney and Victor Bout. Paul Whelan was not in the conversation, and it was either her or nobody. Here's the story I have in front, one of many you can find. Yesterday morning, the Biden administration announced that WNBA player Brittany Griner has been freed from a Russian prison in exchange for Victor Bout, a notorious Russian arms dealer who is known to Western intelligence agencies as, quote, the merchant of death. Okay? Did the Biden administration choose Griner over Whelan? Joe Biden said, quote, this was not a choice of which American to bring home, end quote. Although many in the government, press secretary, president himself, have denied that was the case, several pieces of evidence seem to indicate that Griner was indeed prioritized over Whelan and that Moscow allowed the Biden administration to choose either individual for the one-to-one swap. Stay with me here. It gets even more nefarious. The corporate media, citing senior Biden administration officials, have delivered clues about the prisoner swap options. NBC News, of all people, you want to talk about propaganda, edited its story about the decision to choose Brittany Griner over Paul Whelan. For reasons unknown, NBC News, citing a senior U.S. official, changed its entire narrative about the prisoner exchange. Check this out. They originally released the following, quote, a senior U.S. official told NBC News that the U.S. government had sought to have both Griner and Whelan released as part of the swap with the Kremlin, which wanted the return of Victor Bout, a Russian arms dealer who's served 11 of 25 years in the United States prison. But the official said Russia has treated Whelan differently because he's an accused spy, and that the Kremlin gave the White House the choice of either Griner or Whelan or none. Then the updated version, the edit, says the following. But the official said Russia has treated Whelan differently because he's an accused spy. Get ready. And that the Kremlin ultimately gave the White House the choice of either Griner or no one after different options were proposed. It's not the original report. Original report said either Griner or Whelan or none. Then the edited version, either Griner or no one after different options were proposed. Sure seems, at least according to initial reports, along with testimonies of Whelan's lawyer and family, that the Biden administration is lying about what went down. If you have any thoughts, we can continue the conversation because there's more to be talked about as far as Brittany Griner goes and a lot of other stories in the news. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Before we get back to, well, the topic at hand here, Brittany Griner being released, we've got some calls on the screen. Let's just take a breath, moment of respite, and have a little fun. What do I mean? A dear friend of mine, if you've listened to the program at all, you would know who Craig Parker Adams is. Craig is a rock and roll guitarist. He has a brand new album out. He's a very dear friend of mine. And I make no bones about, well, the idea of pushing his album. Great Christmas gift. If you don't know much about him, he's an aficionado and cut this, well, kind of fun commercial. Give it a listen.
In a world where seahorses ride dirt bikes and gumballs grow on trees, comes the DNA cleansing rock concert of purified notes to help you be the most incredible, ultimate, bestest you. The Solly Buell, a sassy tropical blend of coconut, banana, mango, pineapple-flavored rock guitar, here to liberate and heal your soul. Take the journey and get your copy of the Solly Buell now at IARERecords.com. That's IARERecords.com. And be a part of the greatest selling rock record of all time, the Solly Buell. Coming to a stadium near you.
Warning. Initiates healing upon contact.
Let me say a little bit more about Craig Parker Adams' new album. It's called Vistale Buell. It's a rock album. I struggle to bring up just Van Halen, but Craig was deeply inspired by Eddie Van Halen, or Edward, as Craig called him. He had a relationship, friendship with him, and Craig is just a great guitarist. It's a great rock album, and I couldn't suggest it highly enough, more highly enough. His website is CraigParkerAdams.com. If you just go to the website, you'll see all sorts of other things that are on the site as well as his album. Pick it up. Pick up a few. Great Christmas present. And Craig is a wonderful man that has the gift of rock and roll. All right, we mentioned Brittany Griner and the fact that she was released. We talked a little bit about Paul Whelan. We haven't talked about Victor Bout yet. There's a caller on the screen. Rick in Lake Balboa wants to talk about this particular story as well. Rick, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on AM 790 KABC. Hello, Rick.
Oh, thanks, Frank. Thanks so much. Couple of things. Number one, you mentioned it looks like the Biden administration is lying. I'm shocked. I mean, do they really do things like that? It's hard to believe that they would ever try to misconstrue something.
Right,
okay,
right,
that's
right.
Number one. Number two, look, I'm glad she's back. She's facing 9 years in prison. Maybe this is like a little message, you know, a little note to some other, you know, athletes and kids her age. When you go to foreign countries, they don't mess around. You better learn what the laws are over there. You're not in America. You're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy, okay? And then finally, what kind of irks me a little bit is when she gets back, is she going to kiss the ground that maybe this isn't such an obnoxious, racist country like the way she felt before she left? And I also find it a little irritating that, again, I'm glad she got back, but a Marine who loves this country, who would give his life for this country, that we can't get back. That comes later after Miss Griner.
Rick, I thank you for the call, and your points are very, very well taken. And for those that may not know the story too closely, Brittany Griner, in her time before she even was arrested overseas, made a point to not stand for the national anthem, had a lot of disparaging things to say about our country. That's what Rick was referring to. And I have questions, too. I didn't follow the story that closely, but I know the story now is she was arrested and convicted for having cannabis resin. And I heard early on it was hash resin, which is not pot. But the point being this, I just have to ask myself, traveling overseas, I think intelligent people, and I'm not saying she's not, but people think things through. How would you take that kind of a risk? Right? Now, let me get to even more of the story that bothers me. Victor Bout, the idea of a guy that was serving 25 years, convicted of 2011. If you don't now, know, he was working to sell millions of dollars worth of weapons. 800 surface-to-air missiles, 30,000 AK-47s. This guy is not a good guy. And even if Paul Whelan was the one they swapped him for, I just have to wonder. Now, I don't want to get into history of exchanges and prisoners. And I mean, I harken back to some other things. I'm not that old. I remember the October surprise, which is another story for another time. Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter. But I just, what's happened to us? Now, again, I agree with Rick. I'm glad Brittany Griner is back. I mean, that's a hard lesson to learn. But really, a guy known as the Merchant of Death, some people say he's the most notorious arms merchant in the world. And we're going to kick him loose because Brittany Griner was, dumb enough to smuggle in some type of drugs to a country like Russia and got caught. And yes, I'm not speaking of the obvious part of this, that it's all about politics, right? The Biden administration. And if you disagree with me, or if you want to take me to task, call 800-222-5222. But there was a lot of political overtones, too. She's a black woman, sports figure, high profile. Yeah, this goes part and parcel to a lot of the politics of the left. But to just say, you know, she's home, it's so exciting. And we've sent Victor Bout back to Russia? My goodness. And maybe it's just me. I oftentimes think maybe I've need to find another vocation other than talk radio. Probably a lot more smarter people out there, but I just think common sense 101 says there is something very wrong with this story. And I love Rick's sense of humor, like, no, we couldn't be lied to. That would just be shocking. When it seems like this administration and the press secretary, this is what they do, carte blanche. They lie to us all the time with contempt. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Next hour, I want to get into what's going on in China a little bit. You know, for those that say, well, I'm only one person, massive protests, we can't do it. When you take into consideration a country like China, where they're rounding people up, I think they have 90,000 in quote-unquote quarantine camps, sealing doors. 10 people lost their lives a week or two ago because of a fire and they couldn't get out of their own building. And now massive protests. They've had it. And there's protests going around the world for various reasons. Brazil, they think the election was not on the up and up. And here we are in America. I mean, save 2 years ago, 2 years removed from, you know, the onset of the lockdowns, and then all of a sudden we had this breakout talking about race and equality, and then, you know, the riot and looting somehow was just some statement against the evils of white supremacy. I just have to shake my head a little bit. A country that has a lot of history in this idea of mass protest. You know, recent years, look what Dr. King did. But I digress. Next hour, we'll also talk about another hard topic. There's a push to normalize pedophilia by academia. And some other things I've got under my sleeve that I want to throw your way and invite you to call the program. 800-222-KABC are the numbers to always call in. We've got some calls on the screen that will carry over. And also, my email address is frank@kmgministries.com. It's good to be back. We are live in studio. I got three emails from people saying, hey, I heard the first part of the show. Is this recorded? I did read the Neil Oliver piece on my program last Friday at 4, but I know not everybody listens to the program week to week. So many of you, that's the first time you heard that. Again, any portion of the program, you can hear it in its entirety at franksontag.com. Hour number two is upon us. It is next. We always thank you for listening to Talk Radio 790 KABC.